Welcome to Talks at Stellenbosch Uni, Stellenbosch University's podcast where we talk about current topics and innovative research done at the university.
Welcome to whoever is listening to our podcast. This podcast is coming to you from Marty Sport at Stellenbosch University. My name is Dr. Nana Adamabwaji, and my co-host today is Ms. Kimara Singh. I'm the postdoctoral fellow at the Center for Sport Leadership at Marty Sport, and Kimara is our communications and media manager at Marty Sport. So we are smack in the middle of Women's Month here in South Africa, in case you are listening from overseas. And as Marty Sport, we hosted an event for National Women's Day last week, Friday, focusing on true inclusion in sport and what it means. So our podcast today is just Kimara and I having a discussion on our personal perspectives and, of course, reflections on the event that was hosted last week. So, Kimara, would you like to say a few words before we delve right into this?
Yeah, so good morning, everyone. And I just want to say that last week's event was actually very, very insightful. We had Prof. Cora Bennett speak to us as a guest speaker on the afternoon. And, you know, there's so many aspects that she touched on that actually bring so much light to what women are actually experiencing in South Africa at the moment. So with that being said, I'm going to jump into the questions, and Dr. Nana, I hope you're excited to be answering all of them.
I am. When it comes to sport, specifically women in sport, that is when I light up like a Christmas tree, so we can get right in.
I love that. I love it. So can you tell me what exactly sparked your interest in this specific topic for our Women's Day event?
I will have to be honest, I get random ideas from things I hear or see. So the topic actually was sparked by a conversation that Ilham and myself had with Prof. Cora Bennett on another issue related to research. And she was just sharing with us in terms of what the inclusion space now looks like in Europe, because she had just returned from, I think, a month traveling in Europe, doing research and making presentations. So she was just explaining in terms of the action that people are actually, you know, making things happen, what people are doing overseas when it comes to inclusion in sport, and how it's very different from South Africa. So being the nerd that I am, whenever I have meetings or conversations, I either have my phone handy, my laptop handy, or pen and paper. And if something pops in, I write it down. So I think a few months after that conversation, Ilham, you know, was just talking about Women's Day coming up and how she would like Marty Sport to host an event. We've never hosted an event. And of course, my brain being the way it's wired, I would guess, inclusion just popped into my head. And I was like, oh, by the way, I don't know if you remember, we had a conversation of Cora. You know, she touched on it. And then I followed up with another conversation with her. And this is what she said. So I said to Ilham, you know, it was just like in passing conversation. And of course, Ilham is Mrs. Ilham Groenewoud, our chief director of sport at Marty Sport. So she latched on to my rambling, my research ramblings, and then she said, make it happen. So I was like, what? So it took me a few seconds. I'm like, make what happen? She's like, but you just said true inclusion in sport and how in South Africa we need to be educated about it. I was like, it was just a thought. And she's like, well, I want your thoughts to be a reality. So I was like, how? And she was like, an event, Nana, an event. And, you know, I was like, okay. And she's like, send me something at the end of the day. So I was like, okay. I put my thoughts on paper on a one page. I sent it to her and she's like, I love this. We are going to host a Marty Sport event, first official Marty Sport event with the Center for Sport Leadership for National Women's Day. And it's going to be about true inclusion in sport. And that is how it happened. So it wasn't necessarily my interest was sparked. It was just a random thought that floated in my head that somehow came out in a discussion.
Yeah, and I think we all know what that when the big boss lady says make it happen, we definitely have to just make it happen.
Yes.
So, and tell me, so why is it so important to have true inclusion, and particularly in a sports space, or speaking particularly in for women's sport in this current political environment, especially in South Africa, where we're faced with so many different difficulties compared to maybe the global South?
Okay, so I think for those who, you know, who pay attention to global news and what's happening, you know, globally, regionally in Africa and in South Africa, I'm sure you would have come across the words diversity, equity, and inclusion. So let's say over the past 5 years, there's been a real big push across society as a whole, different sectors, whereby there's been a push that society in terms of representation should be reflective of the people who live in that society or who make up, you know, specific spaces. So within sport, if we focus specifically on South Africa, just to give those overseas just a snapshot of the diversity that is South Africa. South Africa is about 60 million people right now. About 80-81% of the population are Black African. And then about 9% are Caucasian, as you would say overseas, or white, as we would refer to in South Africa. That makes up about 90%, almost 90%. And then the remainder 10%, I think about 5 or 6%, is made up of what we would call the colored demographic. So the colored demographic are individuals who have a mixed biracial or multiracial heritage over the years. So they are known as a designated race or population in South Africa. And then the remainder population would be, I think, those who are Indian or of Asian descent is about 3%. And then the remainder is, you know what, they would say other, or people who don't necessarily identify. So in South Africa, we have policy since South Africa gained democracy in 1994. Our sport policies specifically say that we should work towards ensuring that the sporting landscape in South Africa is a true reflection of the demographics of the country when it comes to gender, racial demographics, etc. But despite what policy says, the landscape does not reflect that. So that is why, for me personally, over the last 2 years, I have taken up my personal mantle to say that if you're going to talk about sports, if you're going to have discussions, I want to focus on inclusion. I want to focus on the voices or the representations that are not there. And also, when we talk about sport, we forget about the disabled population. It can be physically disabled. It can be cognitively disabled. They are also excluded from the conversations. So it is important to have inclusion in sport, true inclusion, which means your sporting population, those who take part in sports at school level, community level, club level, all the way to those who represent South Africa, who wear our colors, to ensure that when people see them either live or people see them on TV or on social media or newspapers, you know, the next generation can be like, wow, there is someone who looks like me. There is someone who represents my culture, my religion, my gender orientation, my sexual orientation, my racial identity. There is someone who looks like me. And if there's someone who looks like me, that means that, hey, maybe I can also get there. Because there have been studies which have shown recently that if especially the youth, if young people especially start seeing individuals who look like them being represented in sport, that kind of motivates them and pushes them. And I think it is very important in our political environment, because sport is a reflection of society, especially in South Africa, or it should be, as our politicians have time and time again mentioned. So it is important then that sport should reflect what we see in South African society, or what we want our society to be like, especially when we talk about inclusion, especially when we talk about diversity, because we are 28 and a half years into democracy, and we are still not where we need to be in terms of being a real rainbow nation, as they coined the term back in 94. There's still divisions, and sports, if we look at the Springboks, when they played Wales, when you saw how packed the stadium was in Cape Town, my brother went there, he took pictures, and you just saw the diversity in terms of the racial diversity, the demographics, the gender, the religious demographics being represented in that stadium, and everyone cheering on our Springbok men's rugby team. That is what it should be about, but it shouldn't be just at the highest level. And yep. For our top performing team, it should also start at the ground level
with absolutely.
Our children, who are the next generation.
Yeah, and then I think it is really powerful that you mentioning that, you know, it starts with us showing and giving people the platform to be seen, because obviously the younger generation needs that. And there's so much that is going on in this current landscape that actually helps the younger generation as they come up. Like everyone now wants to be a Siya Kolisi, or, you know, that kind of thing. Like it's great. It's powerful. It's something that obviously if someone else could make their dream come true, it's possible for you as a young person as well to believe in your dream and make it true. And I think you have touched on it as well, but what does true inclusion mean to you as a researcher?
I mean, the previous question, I said a lot, so I will try to be brief in responding to this question. For me as a researcher, true inclusion means, are all the different voices sitting at the table when we discuss sport? So when I say all the different voices, do we have people of different gender orientations? Do we have people of different sexual orientations? Do we have people of different racial, religious demographics? Do we even have what I would call expats or naturalized citizens? Because in South Africa, a lot of people seem to forget that we do have sportsmen and sportswomen who were not necessarily born in South Africa. Yeah. Their parents were maybe born in other African countries, and for certain reasons, maybe they came to South Africa as refugees, or their parents ended up coming here to work to seek a better life, and sport was the outlet for these children. And that was what brought them together with their peers in terms of a sense of community. So true inclusion should actually, especially in sport, reflect society. And that's why I do research as well, because true inclusion is not being reflected in society. So I work towards trying to get the marginalized voices a platform, trying to share the stories of marginalized voices. So when I talk about marginalized voices, I'm talking about women. I'm talking about persons with disabilities, and even foreign nationals, people who have been here their whole lives in South Africa, are fighting to be naturalized. And that is something that touches close to home, because I am the child of foreign nationals. My parents were born in Ghana. I was born in Ghana, you know, and sport was actually what integrated me into my school community back in the early 90s. Sport was what gave me that platform for my classmates to be like, oh, okay, there's more to Nana than just what we see. You know, Nana is just like us, because at the time I was the only Black girl in my school when I started grade one. And I was isolated. I was ostracized because of what I looked like. But it was when I started sports, then I started having friends. People wanted to befriend me. People wanted to play with me because they're like, wow, Nana can do what we do. She can even do it better than us. And that intrigued them, you know.
I love that.
Yeah, and sport got me to where I am. So that is what true inclusion means. Do we see different faces at the table when we're having discussions, when we are making decisions, when we are talking on issues that affect us in sport? What does the table look like? That is what true inclusion should mean as a researcher.
Yeah, and I think that's super, super important. And especially with everything that, like, sport is definitely a unifying tool. And I mean, just by your description right now, I think that really shows that it is. And just honing it back into our event from last week, do you want to share some of your biggest takeaways from the discussions, and maybe what was your key findings from everyone that spoke, from Prof. Cora Burnett and our maybe roundtable panelists?
So Prof. Cora Burnett, for those who are unaware, she was my PhD supervisor. So she took me on when no one would take me on. So I had a vision, I had a dream for my PhD.
She definitely had your back.
Yes. And a lot of people were like, this is not feasible as an idea, or it's not going to be relevant. And Prof. Cora was like, you know what? I believe in what you want to do, and I'm going to support you. And she took me on. So we have a mentor-mentee relationship. And the wonderful thing is, even though I finished my PhD 2 years ago, Prof. Cora and I are still in communication. We reach out to each other at least once or twice a month. You know, when we see things within the sporting space, we share it. So when we were talking about true inclusion, I was like, no, this is the person that we need to have. Because as you saw, Kimara, she's so eloquent. She's captivating when she talks.
Yeah, I was like floored.
You. You know, she talks with so much passion.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
And for
I
me,
I think that also for me, from when I was there, I think you just look at the numbers also, and you're like, wow, it's actually very staggering, and it makes you realize that wow, this is, it's not even maybe like 10 years data, or it's like very recent data. And it's very frightening because participation for women's sport is so low, especially at grassroots levels.
That is the problem. And that is one of the things that her and I are fighting towards. And I even said to her, I was like, Prof, I want to be one of your legacies, you know? And I said to her, I want to be one of your legacies. I want to learn from you so that what you are currently doing, I will carry on with it one day. And for me, I was so, and I even said to Ilam that we need to contact Prof. Cora. I think we contacted Prof. Cora about 2 months before the event.
She could come.
Yes, because I know that she is so busy. And I was like, she is the first person we'll contact. So for me, I was happy that she came to the event. And then I also said to Ilam, and as well, Kimara, when we had those meetings preparing for the event, I said, we need to be purposeful. We need to show that we are thought leaders here at Marti Sport and Stellenbosch University. Because when we talk about inclusion in South African sport, people are always thinking, ah, it means we must just add in women, or we must just add in different races. No. Sport is more than that. So that's why I said, for those who have yet to watch the event, it is online. And I think
Kimara, on the Super Sport Schools app.
Thank you. And what is the title or the heading of the event, Kimara?
It is Marti Sport, True Inclusion in Sport.
Thank you, Kimara. So for those who have yet to watch it, please watch it. You'll be educated. You will be inspired, I think. So I was purposeful. So I was like, what does true inclusion mean, especially for Women's Day in South Africa? A lot of people forget we need men on our sides. And I'm sick and tired of this conversation that men are the cause of all our problems in sport. And as women, we need to fight men to, you know, to have our place at the table or to have better positions or opportunities in sport. No. If you want to get ahead, you need men to support you, because the truth of the matter is some men sit at the table and they'll need to open the door so we can sit at the table. Mm-hmm. So we call it male allyship or male allies in sport. So we had a male ally who was our women's rugby coach. I also then thought that we need someone to show someone who has a different sexual orientation, who's not heterosexual, to show what it looks like in the sporting space, you know, because there is what is that word? The only word that I can think of right now is bigotry, but let's say there's bigotry and there's misconceptions, you know, on people of different sexual orientations. And I was like, no, we need to break those opinions and those stereotypes. So we had someone representative of that. And then disability as well. We need to have more persons with disabilities being prime center when we have sport discussions, sharing their experiences. So we also had someone representing that group. And then, of course, we also, being a child of immigrants as well, I was like, we need to also represent the experiences of someone who is a child of immigrants. And because of sport, who is now achieving and living their best life and pursuing their dreams of attending university and doing what they want to do. And we had that. And then the final representation on our panel was a transgender athlete. And the transgender debate is very big. It's very contentious at the moment. It's divided the sporting world. And a lot of the focus has been on transgender women. Yeah. So transgender women, for those in Africa, if you're listening, who are not really sure, transgender women are those who were born biologically male and then they transition or identify as female. So we decided to flip the script and we had a transgender male represented on our panel. So a transgender male is someone who was born female and either identified or transitioned into becoming male. So we had those representations. And for me, I think the panelists, you know, sharing their stories, sharing their experiences, I hope that it opened the eyes of those who were physically present and those who were watching online. And I think it also opened the way for some thought-provoking questions and answers, which happened at the end of the event. And I do believe that it has set the stage. I'm hoping that it has set the stage for future discussions in South Africa. Yeah. But my biggest takeaway was that Stellenbosch University, but specifically Marty Sport and the Center for Sport Leadership, where I am, we stood up and we said, we want to be the change we want to see in the world, as Mahatma Gandhi said. Mm. We know and we understand at Marty Sport what true inclusion means. We are working towards that. We are far from perfect ourselves, but we are actively working towards that. Our panel showed that. Our guest speaker showed that. And we stood up and said, yes, maybe some people will be feeling uncomfortable.
You want people to feel uncomfortable, though.
Yes, but we need people to feel comfortable with feeling uncomfortable. Yeah, so my biggest takeaway was the fact that our chief director, Ilham Groenewoud, she allowed us to run with this idea, with this vision, to be thought leaders in South Africa, to stop making people uncomfortable and stop making them comfortable as well, and saying that these groupings have been marginalized, but we need to have them at the table. And we had them at the table. And I think some of the questions and answer sessions, in terms of what some of the questions which were posed, it showed that we had achieved thought leadership. And that was the biggest takeaway. And that was what we wanted to achieve, to create or to start developing thought leadership, to have people start thinking that, oh my gosh, there are individuals who represent these marginalized groups and we have forgotten about them or we have ignored them and we need to start including them because they have a lot to contribute to the sporting landscape.
Absolutely.
In South Africa. Yeah. And look at Marty Sport. Look at how well we are doing in 2022. And I think the panel showed that.
Yeah, and then obviously, I think me asking this question would be a no, but do you think we're achieving true inclusion in sport? But on the other hand, how do we actually establish this and keep the momentum going of true inclusion in South Africa? And, you know, where do we actually start with this? Because it seems that, I mean, our being thought leaders as Marty Sport definitely contributes as a starting point, but how do we keep up the momentum? How do we keep going?
Well, to the first part, in terms of are we achieving true inclusion, because we are being recorded and people can't hear, I am going to say this, a big capital N, a capital O, five exclamation points, bold and underlined, no. We are not achieving true inclusion in South African sport because our sporting structures and our sporting representation are not reflective of the people who are on the ground, the people who are in the communities where sport is taking place. So that is the answer to that question. Now, how can we establish that? We were very purposeful. And I mean, Kamara, I remember this was probably a late thought which came to mind just before I went on medical leave. Because unfortunately, I think those who are watching, you'll see that I think I was thanked at the end of the event because I wasn't physically in attendance because I'm on medical leave. But we were very purposeful, whereby we invited all the other universities in the Western Cape.
Yeah.
So for those who are listening, the Western Cape is a province, or for Americans, a state in South Africa. And we have four universities. So we are one of the few provinces that has so many institutions in one space. So there's us, Stellenbosch University, the University of Cape Town, which is the number one university in Africa. We have Cape Peninsula University of Technology and the University of the Western Cape. So if we are to look at the history, University of Cape Town and Stellenbosch University are privileged institutions, and the University of the Western Cape and Cape Peninsula University of Technology are previously disadvantaged institutions or institutions which catered in the past to individuals of color. But now, of course, since democracy, you know, we have integrated. So we were purposeful. And that is the first decision that we made in terms of trying to establish true inclusion, is that we invited the heads of sport. So those people who run the sports directorate in these universities, we invited them and some of their staff members to our event. If people couldn't attend in person, we gave them the option of attending virtually. And that is the first step, because that is a problem in South African sport, is that we don't include stakeholders. We don't include our so-called competitors. Everyone is working on their own in their little corner. And as the Center for Sport Leadership and Marty Sport, we want to break that stigma that you should work on your own, or if you work with others or share information or knowledge with others, they are either going to surpass you or steal your trade secrets. I don't know. Yeah, South African sporting environment is very territorial. Yes. So that was where, so that was the first step in terms of creating momentum, inviting our peers, our institutional peers, to our event so that they could learn, they could engage, and they could ask questions so that they could also take something home with them to their institutions. That was the first thing. On trying, not establishing, trying to establish a difference. But now the thing is, it's all good and well having an event, but what do people do after the event? You know, what do they carry on with? Do they implement or try to implement some of the lessons that they learned from the event? We don't know. But as a Center for Sport Leadership, we are going to try to keep the momentum going forward. You know, we have ideas, we've got plans in the pipeline, in, you know, our 5-year strategic plan on how to create inclusion, how to get the momentum going within the sporting landscape. But the thing is, there's only so much we can do as an institution. And there's only so much influence we can have. Our vision is also to go into Africa so that we can learn from our peers in the sporting community, the university sporting space in Africa, and they can learn from us. So that is another step. We are being intentional with what we want to do. And by being intentional, we're sharing our information. We are reaching out to individuals or entities to try and collaborate going forward. And that is what we are trying to do as an institution. So when I say as an institution, Stellenbosch University, as Multisport, as the Center for Sport Leadership. Now, for those of you who are not in the university space, if you are in a sports club or a sport federation, or you're a coach, for example, or retired athlete, where can you start? It all starts with, do you want to be part of the change? In order to be part of the change, I always believe the first step is acquiring knowledge. The internet is there. Google is your best friend. Google is my best friend. If there's information, if there's something you want to learn about, especially when it comes to true inclusion in sport, especially when it comes to women in sport, read. Read, engage, reach out to individuals. If you read an article, if you watch, something on YouTube or a news interview, or if you listen to a podcast, reach out to those individuals who are experts in the field who are experts in the field of gender, women and sport, inclusion in sport, policy in sport, whatever your focus area or your area of interest or specialization is in sport. If you want to see a difference, if you feel there's stagnation and it's not happening, reach out to those experts. I mean, let's be honest, some experts will probably blue tick you and not respond, you know, but some people no shade. I've had it done to me. I'm not going to lie. Even now, I've got a PhD. People blue tick me. I reach out to people on LinkedIn, on Twitter. I follow them. But it's a hit and miss. Not everyone is going to engage or have the time, but no shade to them. It's each to their own.
True.
But those who are willing to reach out to them, learn about them, what their background is. And then when you reach out, introduce yourself, why you want to engage with them, what you want to learn with them. You know, if you have any ideas, list it down. How can they help you? And that is where you start. And that is where you gain momentum. So that even if you started in your small space,
ripple effect.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
It becomes a ripple effect.
And in research, we call it the snowball effect. Mm. So basically, those of you who remember cartoons from back in the 80s and 90s, I'm a child of the 90s, born in the 80s. You remember the cartoons?
Shout out.
You remember, there'll be someone will start rolling a snowball. They'll kick it down a hill and it'll get bigger and bigger and bigger as it rolls down. That is how we can start this momentum. I'll give you the best example. As the Center for Sport Leadership, I co-hosted a webinar last year on DSD athletes. So when World Athletics prevented those two Namibian girls from running in the 400 at their specialist event in Tokyo, they moved to the 200. I was like, okay, we need to, as Africans, we need to learn more about what does it mean to be an athlete with difference of sex disorder. So I looked at who the experts were, who are the individuals in that space. And I got two experts, Dr. Payoshni Mitra and Katrina Kakazis, Professor Katrina Kakazis. So Dr. Mitra is now heading up the Global Observatory for Women in Sport in Lausanne, and she focuses on the human rights side of this issue, and then Dr. Katrina Kakazis focuses on the biomedical ethical perspective of this issue. They don't know me from a bar of soap, okay? But when the issue happened, I saw that they were tweeting about it, and I DM'd them. I sent them a message. But I do stand to be corrected. I had met Dr. Payoshni Mitra briefly in 2018. And I wasn't sure if she remembered me, but she said the name sounds familiar. So I reached out to them. I said, you don't know who I am, but this is what I do. And I have this idea that I want, you know, my peers in Africa to know and learn more about this issue, because we are confusing this issue with transgender athletes.
Yeah.
So would you mind, would you have space in your calendar? It was a lot of back and forth, but you helped me with it, Kimara. We got the event off the ground. We had stakeholders from Namibia who were assisting us as well, and we made it an African event. I think the webinar is still online on our Marty's YouTube channel and our Facebook channel as well, or our Facebook page. So that is just an example that when you want to see true inclusion, when you want to learn more, when you want to spread information, be bold, reach out. It might be a hit and miss. It's fine. If it's a miss, you dust yourself off and you move on.
Or you keep going, keep at it.
You keep going. You keep knocking those doors, or get someone to help you. Or if you can't get someone to help you, do it yourself. Look at what other people are doing and start something yourself. Even if it's just hosting like a parents evening at your sports club and having these discussions. What do our female athletes need? How can we improve things? How can we be more inclusive? And reaching out to our community, for example, because we find that in our sports club, we mostly have men and boys. There's not enough girls and females, or people of different religions or sexual orientations. Have those difficult conversations. Change starts with difficult conversations. I know I've said a lot because I'm very passionate. When I get passionate, you can't stop me. I could talk for hours on end, but yes, there is a way to start. And I think, and one lesson or one piece of advice I will give to people: don't look towards your government for the changes that you want to see. Because if you're going to look to government or policies, you're going to be waiting for a long time. Change starts at the grassroots level, the community level. When you start change at the base level, at the grassroots level, and it's like, you know, a ripple effect, and it gets bigger and bigger, then you draw the attention of those at the top. That's when they will pay attention to you and be like, oh my gosh, how can we make this bigger? How can we spread it? It's better to start with what you have and what you know within your capacity, within your space. Don't look to the people at the top. If you think going to the top will work, in my experience as a researcher, it doesn't work if you always go straight to the top, especially if you're not established. If you're famous and you've got money and you've got connections, yes, going straight to the top, go for it. But if you're somebody like me sitting in your room who has a dream to see a change in South Africa or Africa or wherever you are, start at your level. Start with your people, your little network, and let it grow. That's where the change starts.
Thanks, Nana. Thank you. You're like, okay, let me catch my breath. But yeah, I think you've touched on a lot of things there, and a lot of takeaways for people about how they can actually start to be the change that they want to see in the specific sporting code, specific sporting environment. But in closing off, is there anything brief that you'd like to say to our listeners who are tuning into this podcast?
Yes, two things. Have patience and never give up. If you want to see true inclusion, if you want to see change in sport in your space, this sounds very airy-fairy, but this is what I live by. I wanted to make or contribute to seeing a change in sport in South Africa. It took me 10 years to get to where I am. It took me 10 years.
It's not easy work.
Not easy work, and I'm still not even a tenth of the way. I'm still at the bottom. I'm still fighting my way. So you have to have patience. You should never give up. There'll be so many doors that have been closed in your face. When doors get closed in your face, have a cry, go for a run, eat chocolate like me, you know.
In secret.
Yes, dust yourself off. And then it's like, what did I learn from this? What is the takeaway? And you keep on it. Change is not going to happen overnight, but you have to be patient. I haven't given up. I always say, and I think I've said this to Kimara, I believe that the change that I hope for in South African sport, especially for inclusion, I believe I will see a little change in my lifetime.
Absolutely. And I stand by that too.
So that's all you can do. Never give up and be patient to the listeners. Just keep at it. If you give up, probably it's not your passion, because those who are really passionate, no matter the obstacles, they'll just keep at it until they see some small change. Because a change doesn't mean having a building named after you, or, you know, being on social media or being applauded or having TV interviews. No. To me, a change means, can you change at least one person's life for the better when the end of your life comes? When you are closing your eyes and you're saying, I've given all that I can to society and to humanity, can one person say up and say, Kimara Singh, Nana Damabwaji, the conversation I had with you, or the events that you had, etc., or whatever it is, motivated me and encouraged me to get off my ass, to get up and be like, yes, I changed my life for the better. Mm. That is when you know you've made a difference.
Thank you so much, Nana. That was such an insightful conversation. And you know what? To our listeners who are tuning into this podcast, I really encourage you to be the true inclusion in your sport that you want to see change in. Do the small things. Every small task you're doing is probably adding up to something bigger. And you know, we want that snowball effect in the country. And with that being said, that's a wrap from us. Thank you, Nana, again.
Thank you very much for having me and co-hosting me, Kimara. I look forward to more podcasts. And also as well, for those of us who are listening, please follow us on Twitter. You can DM us. So my Twitter handle is at AKUA, the number 85, okay? And if there's topics you want to have us discuss on future podcasts as well, just DM us or tag us. Kimara, can you give yours and the Marty's Twitter handle as well?
Yeah, so my Twitter handle is at Kimara_8, and our Marty Sport is just at Marty Sport. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Thank you, Kimara.
Pleasure.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Follow all the latest Stellenbosch University news at www.sun.ac.za, or follow us on all the largest social media platforms.